Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. So admit to one another that you have sinned. Pray for one another so that you might be healed. The prayer of a godly person is powerful. It makes things happen. Elijah was just like us. He prayed hard that it would rain, and it did, or that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. That time it rained, and the earth produced its crops.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone who's with us today, worshiping the Lord. Glad to have you all here, especially our guests. We want to welcome you. And we want to welcome for the first time as husband and wife, JR and Morgan, Cole. Glad to have you guys here. We celebrate with you, and great to have you with us. And I didn't mention Kathleen. It's so good to have you back a couple of weeks ago, and we've just so good to see you're doing better. We really missed you, and Kathleen's been through quite an ordeal. I want to keep praying for our sisters as they're coming home from the Oak Glen, the conference center. I know they've been having a good time from a little bit I've heard from up there, and not just a good time, but a blessed time, a real spiritual time, a fellowship, and just growing closer to one another in their relationships, and also having a time to really focus on God and God's call on their lives. And we're just thankful for those kinds of opportunities. You know, when you think of images of power, that different images that might come to your mind when you think about power. There's the power of military might. There's the power of money and what money can do, what money can buy and achieve. There's power in machines that just have more power than sometimes we can even imagine. There's a power of a heavy-handed dictator. There's nuclear power. There's political power and people who want political power. Then there's the power of, that we see inherent in nature and God's creation. So many images of power come to mind. There's even, okay, one ring to rule them all. I have to get that in there. But anyway, all kinds of power. This morning we want to talk about a great power that God has placed within us and in our lives. We go back to Elijah. We've been talking about Elijah the last several weeks and several events out of Elijah's life. We've seen how God worked in Elijah's life, how he worked through his weakness, his dependency upon him to make him strong and to prepare him for that amazing moment on Mount Carmel where he stands up against the prophets of Baal and Asherah and calls by the power of God fire down from heaven to demonstrate the power of God over the power of any would-be God. We've watched God work in his life as Elijah, so despondent, ran off in a time of depression and despondency after that great moment on top of Mount Carmel. And then as Elijah threw his cloak, his mantle, across the shoulders of Elisha, calling him into prophetic service, having someone to work alongside of him and to then become the prophet of Israel when Elijah's time on this earth was over. But as we've looked at all of these stories, one of the things that kind of stands out about Elijah is the relationship with God in these stories. It's not just about a man going around doing powerful things. This is a man who knows the Lord. And we see it. When you read through all of the chapters that cover the life and events in Elijah's ministry, you'll see many times when God communicates to Elijah through an angel. There's this intermediary who speaks to him, who brings messages to him, and actually does things in his life. And of course, there's that amazing moment on Mount Horeb where God encounters Elijah there in that cave, and God himself comes to speak to Elijah. But oftentimes, as you read through the story of Elijah, you find Elijah as a man of prayer, a man who's relating to God through prayer, a man who is, in a sense, just such an example of what it means to be dependent upon God and on your knees in prayer before him. Jeff read just a moment ago, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain for over 3.5 years. Elijah prayed on top of Mount Carmel that God would bring fire down upon that sacrifice to show the children of Israel, that God alone, that is the true living God, and to turn the hearts of God's people back to Him. And that prayer is answered. And then he gets down on his knees on that same mountain and prays for rain, and the clouds begin to develop over the sea and come and bring rain to the land. When he is, when he's with that, the widow of Zarephath, you remember how he cries out to God for the life of that son of hers after he, that child dies, and God brings life back into that child. And then when he goes off and hides away from all of the things that he sees that are troubling him, he calls out to God, there even in that cave. And of course, it is a complaint, and yet he's still crying out to God. He still calls out to God in faith. He is a man of prayer. And in fact, when James in the New Testament is looking for an example, an illustration of someone who really understands the dynamic of prayer, he goes back to the life experience of Elijah, and he reminds us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and says Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. As we complete our look at Elijah's life today, thinking back over those events that we've looked at before, we just want to stop and consider the importance of his relationship with God, the importance of prayer in his life, and be reminded of how those principles need to be accepted and brought into our own lives as well. Elijah teaches us the importance of prayer. And as Tim started it off this morning by reading from Ephesians 6, we're all involved in the same kind of spiritual warfare that Elijah was involved in. At the beginning of this passage, Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our trouble in this world, it's not with people, it's not with the flesh and blood, it's not with men and women of this world. Paul's very clear that our struggle, the real enemy that we face, are the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. As he urges us to place on this armor of faith, to stand against the evil one, he tops it off with the importance of prayer and the central nature of prayer in this battle that we're engaged in. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Like Elijah, you and I are involved in daily spiritual battles, battles in which we truly need to rely upon God in prayer for His strength and for His wisdom. Think just about your own life. Think about the need that you and I have every single day to be committed to prayer, devoted to prayer, and praying for ourselves and the needs that we have, the true spiritual needs that we have in our life every day. Every single day of our life, every single day of my life, I face temptation. The evil one never gives up. He is always there. He's always coming after me with something. I know he must be to you too. We're facing battles every day. We're facing temptation. We're facing the temptation to become discouraged. We're facing sometimes the temptation to put something off that we need to do and fail to see the urgency of something that needs to take place in our life. All of us, we long to be more like Christ. We long to live holy lives and to reflect the nature of God in our life. And every day, Satan works to chip away at that image, to defile that image in us, to cause us to feel like we're failing in that, to undermine the attempts that we have. So very important for us to be devoted every day in prayer for ourselves, for our own spiritual growth, our own spiritual strength. We have issues in our lives. We have issues in our families. We have troubles. We have financial problems. We have illness. We have a whole host of things that each of us faces in a variety of times and ways in our lives. We must be devoted to God in prayer for these things, praying for ourselves, praying for God to be alive and active in our lives. Praying not only for ourselves, but praying for the church. A couple of Sunday nights ago, we had a congregational meeting. There were a lot of just kind of sharing of information, reports. Part of it was about financial situation. Part of it was about ministries that are going on in the church. We talked a little bit about the MOPS ministry, and this last week it got off to just a tremendous start with some new ladies from the community coming into that. It was just such a blessed week where that goes. We're talking about our Bible school program and the Service in the Sun progress and following up on that and getting back to work on this garden, some of the problems we're running into with the city and developing the property, but just sharing all of those things. We need as a church to be praying about the works of the church, about the ministries that we're doing, to truly spend time every day asking God for his help, for his wisdom, for discernment to know how best to go forward with the things that we long to do. Praying for the mission works that we support, praying for those works that we do that reach out to children and to orphans, to pray for those kids, to devote ourselves to these, not to forget them. It's so easy just to go on in our life and do everything that needs to be done on our schedules and not take the time to pray about things that are truly important. Even interceding for one another, how vital it is for us when we know of struggles that other brothers and sisters in Christ are facing, to be able to pray for them, to truly intercede and to pray for God's power to be unleashed in their life. Whether it's praying for their guidance or praying for someone's healing or someone's strength or somebody just dealing with a tough issue in their life. To truly minister to one another and remember each other in our prayers for one another. Praying for the lost, for the people we know and love who don't know Jesus Christ. Praying for them. Always remembering them in prayer before God, asking God to touch their hearts, to open up their lives, to give us opportunities and the right words when those opportunities come, to be prayerful about that, to be thoughtful about that every day. Praying for this world. Well, you talk about spiritual darkness. Look around at the world in which we live today. The hatred, the hopelessness, the violence, the idolatry, the materialism, the evil one holds sway over the lives of so many people. And he's imprisoned so many people, and he's destroying so many lives of people who don't know God. And it's like the days of Elijah. There's a faithful remnant. There are those who know God. There are those who know the true living God, who can come before God in prayer and pray on behalf of the world, pray on behalf of the evil that's going on in this world to bring it down by the power of God, because we have a God who longs to redeem and to set people free and to draw people close to him, devoted to prayer, because we need God. We can't do any of this on our own, can we? There's so many things about my life I want to be. I can't do it by myself. I can't do it apart from prayer. I can't do it apart from the work of the Spirit in my life. It's impossible. We need God. We can't change this world. We can't touch the hearts of the lost. We can't. We can't solve problems. We can't deal with all of the issues that we're facing in our lives. We realize that we're powerless to do anything about it. We really need divine help. We need understanding. We need God's power. I can't build up the kingdom of God by my own thinking, by my own. None of us can. It's with the help of God. It's with the wisdom that God brings. It's with the power that God gives to our life. I cannot defeat Satan alone, and neither can you. We can't stand up against these battles by ourselves. They are beyond human power and human wisdom. And we have to take this battle on our knees. Our enemy is crafty, but God is wise. Our enemy is strong, but God's purposes are eternal and will be fulfilled. Our enemy goes everywhere he can to wreak his destruction, but God is everywhere to fill us with power and wisdom to stand against the evil one, and how vital it is that we pray. As Paul said, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be open. You have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. And James, the brother of Jesus, says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Not only do we pray, but we pray in faith. We ask and we seek and we knock, and we do so in faith that God will hear that God will answer according to His will. As Jesus taught in Luke 18, it said He told His disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. Our prayer has got to be persistent. We have to keep after it. Pray without ceasing, Paul says. Pray without ceasing. Many of us have seen the movie War Room. If you haven't seen the movie War Room and you've heard the title, War Room is not about a battle of physical armies. It's not an action movie like you might be thinking in that sense, though it is a movie about war and there's a lot of action in it, but it's of a spiritual nature. It's a story about a couple. They're named Tony and Elizabeth Jordan. Tony and Elizabeth are sort of nominal Christians. I mean, they go to church most Sundays. She's a little bit more into it than he is. But they've got their lives after all. She's a busy real estate agent. He's got a high-powered job. He's making lots of money. And their marriage is totally falling apart. He's kind of caught up in his own success. He's pretty high on Tony, to be honest with you. He likes himself pretty well that way. And he's flirting with temptation. And by that, I mean he's looking outside of his marriage. He's beginning to look outside of his marriage. And his wife, Elizabeth, is just pretty much resigned to bitterness. She's stuck with this guy. She doesn't like him anymore. Every time they're together, they fight. They argue. They have this little girl that they're raising up, but they just continue to fight in front of her and raise her up in this dysfunctional home. She's just decided, Elizabeth has, just to live with the bitterness as best she can. But things are falling apart. Until Elizabeth meets a new client whose name is Miss Clara. And as Elizabeth and Miss Clara get to know each other, Miss Clara has just kind of a way into getting into Elizabeth's life and in her heart. And she teaches Elizabeth a better way to fight. And that way of fighting that she teaches her is prayer. The war room is Miss Clara's prayer closet, where she fights all of her battles. And she teaches Elizabeth that all this fighting that she's doing in her life, all the fighting and arguing that's going on in her household, she can never win. Even if she wins an argument, she's losing her marriage, she's losing her life, she's losing her family. And Miss Clara teaches her that she's fighting the wrong battle, she's fighting the wrong enemy. It's not her husband she needs to be fighting, it's Satan she needs to be fighting. Her enemy is not flesh and blood, her enemy is the evil one. And so Elizabeth learns to pray. And it's a new experience for her. She's gone to church, but she's never really prayed like this before. And she makes herself a prayer closet in her house. And she learns to pray for her husband, and the best she can to make a decision to love her husband, and to fight against the true enemy in her life, who was Satan, who was doing everything he can to destroy her and her husband and their family and their faith. And this time of prayer in her life begins to change her. It changes her focus. It changes her attention. It changes the way she looks at the problem that she's going through. It changes the way that she even understands and views her husband. As she chooses to love him, knowing she can't control anything that he does, and just praying that God will intervene, that God will be active in their life. And as she continues to do this, her devotion to God opens up his power and his will into her life. I know a lot of us have seen this movie, and I'm telling you, for me, it's a pretty powerful sermon. You don't expect that in a movie anymore, do you? Or maybe never as open as this one is. And I don't know, but when I saw it, I was not only encouraged by the great message, but to a certain degree convicted. And I would imagine that some of you who saw this movie too may have been convicted in the same way. Convicted because you look at your own life and your own devotion to prayer and you realize perhaps that it's not what it ought to be. And I'm wondering if maybe some of us who saw this movie when we first saw it, as we walked out of the theater and started to come home, if we were thinking, you know, I'm going to make some changes in my life, and then maybe a day or two passed and we kind of forgot about that. But whether or not you've seen that movie, I want to call upon each one of us to look at our own lives honestly, to look into our hearts, to look into our practices, and see whether or not we're truly devoted to prayer in the way that we ought to be. I want to encourage you, even as I encourage myself today, to commit to be devoted more fully to time in prayer to the Lord, to plead for His power, to pour out your heart to Him every day, to look to God for your guidance and strength. You know, when we fail to pray, we are deprived, as are those that we could be praying for. James 4:2 is written across many lives. You have not because you ask not. How many times does God stand ready to do something, to act, to bless, to intervene, and we don't ask? We're not even there. God's standing at the door, ready to act powerfully on our behalf, and we're not even trusting Him. We're not even thinking about Him. But He wants us to throw open that door through prayer and through faith so that He can come in and do something. We're deprived of God's power and of God's wisdom when we fail to pray. I'm thinking of all the things that I think about in my life. It's like, you know, I really want this to happen. This is really important in my life. This is so very important. And then I have to step back and say, how devoted am I to prayer for those things to happen? Oh, I really want this to happen in the church. I really want this change in my life. Okay, Richard, how much are you devoting to prayer to God for this change to take place in your life, for this thing to happen in the church that will be a blessing? How much are you devoted to really asking God to be involved and to show Himself and to show His power? When we fail to pray, the spiritual battle in our life can be swayed, and God's power isn't tapped, and His will is not sought, and His mind is not understood. His wisdom isn't received by us, and we're left without that. And when that happens, the evil one gains a grip on us and supremacy over us. And so much is at stake in our lives that we would be devoted to prayer. When we fail to pray, there's a sense in which we despise even the access that we have to the throne of God. Think for just a moment of the price that's been paid so that you and I can come before God in prayer. And the price is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Christ. It's the offering up of His flesh that opens up the door into the throne room of God, according to the writer of Hebrews. It's by the very blood of Jesus that we have a mediator who can stand between us and God, and we can speak to God. And when I fail to walk the pathway of prayer, there's a sense in which I'm not appreciating the cross and what God has done for me there, what Jesus has done. But when we do pray, what blessings we receive. What a change takes place in our life. And the most important thing that happens is that we are connected to God. That's the most important thing. Prayer isn't always just about, it's not about just getting your will or getting your way or having things work out exactly like you want. Prayer is about God. It's about connecting to God, being with Him, talking to Him, listening to Him, building your relationship with Him, growing more intimately related to Him. That's really what the heart of prayer is. And it's out of that relationship then that strength and power and wisdom come. But it's about Him. It's about being connected to the Lord and having that relationship at the heart of our lives. Then we're in a position to hear His voice, to hear His wisdom. Then we're in a position to receive His power and to know His peace. And when that happens, when we devote ourselves to prayer, we can face any demand and overcome any temptation that comes our way. We can navigate through any unexpected turn that comes about in our life. We can face a future that's unknown to us with confidence. We can overcome. Last week, I've been dealing with a problem for a while, and I've been wanting to do something about this problem for a long time. And I pray about it every once in a while. And you can imagine the results I get. This week I decided that I was going to pray about it. I was blessed to be able to ask a brother to pray about it too. One day I just set my alarm on my clock, on my phone for every 2 hours. I'm just going to set the alarm every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, I'm going to be praying all day long. And what I found out is once I started that, I'd remember before the alarm went off. It just became a part. For a week, I really devoted myself to this one thing. And I tell you, I've seen God at work in helping me this week over something that I've been struggling with for a long time. And the truth of the matter is I've talked to him about it here and there, but I have never really devoted myself to saying, God, it's time. It's time for you to act. It's time for me to submit. It's time to make this change forever and never turn back and be devoted to it. We can be devoted to prayer, devoted to God. I am so not the example for this. I long for that kind of life, and I want to be devoted in that way. Because it unleashes God's power and His presence in your life. You know, I know we believe in the power of prayer, and there's a sense in which that's true. I think James is kind of getting at that a bit in James chapter 5, but I think what he's really saying is we believe in the power of a God that we connect with in prayer, whose power is then unleashed by our faith in that lifetime of prayer. It's His power. Prayer is not like a blank check that's just got some power attached to it because I do it. It's about trusting in the God who listens and knowing that He will act. I want to be more devoted to prayer in my life. And if there's some here I know, you're there. You're doing it. You're the example. And we can learn from you. If there are other brothers and sisters who perhaps need a little bit of a boost like me, I just want to encourage you today. Let's commit to a life of prayer. We pray without ceasing. It's a way of life. We just pray without ceasing. We're continually in contact with God all of our day, all the day through, all the way through. It's just He's there. He's that present. He's that real. Prayer isn't just something that's done once or twice, but prayer becomes a way of life. And at the same time, we set a time for prayer. I know it seems kind of contradictory to say we pray without ceasing and then set a time for prayer, but what I mean is that prayer is just the air we breathe, but then there have to be some times during our day where we get alone with God, where we have that quiet time, where we have that closet or that war room. I saw that movie, and I thought, man, I need to go home and redo our bedroom because I can't fit in my closet. You know, if I took all the clothes out, I couldn't fit in. It's like, I got to find another place. But to find a place where you can truly set aside time, devote yourself to that time, pray specifically, pray fervently, pray persistently, keep a record of your prayers, look back over your weeks and months of praying over the variety of things that come up in your life, and thank God for the way He's working and answering, even in ways you perhaps sometimes we don't see the answer, we don't understand the answer, or even when He tells us no, but to know that He's there, that He's responding, that He's listening to us, and thanking Him for the things that He's doing in our life, to truly be devoted to prayer, to devote our hearts and our lives to prayer, because in our prayer, God hears. He is active in our life. He's active in our world. He's our sovereign God and Lord, and He will hear our prayers, and He will respond to them. Prayer is our spiritual lifeblood. It's the channel of divine power in us. It is the replenishing fount of our zeal. And if you're lacking zeal and enthusiasm and a sense of power to serve God, let me encourage you to spend more time in prayer. Because the only resource for that kind of energy in life is the presence of God and God's presence in us. Prayer connects us to our Father in heaven. As the Lord Jesus Christ mediates through His life and His blood, and the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes with groanings that are too deep for words. What could be better than that? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all a part of us, all a part of our coming before Him. God is so longing for us to speak to Him. He's opened the way through the blood of Jesus. He gives the Holy Spirit to bring about that intercession as well. How blessed we are to be able to pray to God and then behold His power. If you don't have that relationship with God today, if you're not yet a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, it's through His Son Jesus that God opens up that way. He opens up the relationship through the blood of Jesus. That's the way to the Father. It's through Christ, through His blood shed on the cross. If you believe that, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to turn from your own ways, the Bible calls that repentance, turning from it, then I would say to you, what was said to the Apostle Paul so long ago, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, call on the name of the Lord, wash away your sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. And begin this life with God, this life of prayer, a life of communion with your God and your Creator, and continue calling on the Lord. As we, His children today, continue to call upon the Lord, because God will hear, He will act, He will lead, He will guide us. He'll watch over us, He'll bless us, He will lift our burdens. He will give us power to stand for Him. He will overcome the enemy that we face. And if there are any who need to respond to this God who longs to be so active in your life, we invite you. Let's stand and sing together.